Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Around 20% of the voters in the New York primary are expected to be Latino voters. At the beginning of the mayoral race, Latino political leaders were pretty spread out in their endorsements. Congressman Espaillat from In the Heights for Scott Stringer, Councilman Adonis Rodriguez from up there for Eric Adams, Congressman Richie Torres from the Bronx for Andrew Yang, Congresswoman Nydia Velasquez from Brooklyn for Maya Wiley. Now they are coalescing more around Adams. We'll explain how in a minute with Juan Manuel Benitez from New York One Noticias. Adams got the endorsement this week of the widely circulated Spanish language newspaper El Especialito as well. There is also a major new poll of likely Democratic primary voters from Marist College, which is used as an official benchmark, this poll is, of who qualifies for tomorrow night's final official mayoral debate. And the poll has some very interesting findings. Here are a few. Adams leads citywide with 24% support. Catherine Garcia is next with 17%, then Maya Wiley with 15%. If you consider the margin of error, Wiley and Garcia are tied, and Andrew Yang is right behind them with 13% support. All other candidates are down in single digits now, plus 13% remain undecided, still enough people that these late deciders will determine who wins. When ranked choice voting was taken into account, Adams wins the primary eventually in this poll, with Garcia the last to be eliminated. Some of the demographic breakdowns are also really interesting. Catherine Garcia is the top choice of white voters, 28%, way above Maya Wiley, who comes in next with 18%, 10 points behind. Eric Adams is by far the choice of black voters with 43% support compared to just 11% for Wiley, 10% for Andrew Yang, and just 7% for Garcia. Among Latinos, it's much closer with Adams on top at 22%, then Wiley, Garcia, and Yang close together in the mid-teens. The sample size of Asian Americans was too small for them to report a result. Geographically, Garcia has a solid lead in Manhattan. Adams has a solid lead in Queens. Adams also leads in Brooklyn and the Bronx, but not by as much as in Queens. And the sample size was too small on Staten Island to report a result from there. There is a significant divide over Eric Adams by age. He wins among people over 45, but comes in only tied for third among voters under 45. Maya Wiley comes in first among voters under 45. By religion, Garcia leads among respondents identifying as Jewish. Adams leads among respondents identifying as Catholic or Protestant. And finally, by political ideology, Maya Wiley leads by almost 20 points among those who call themselves very liberal. Garcia leads among those who call themselves just liberal. Adams leads by a lot among those Democrats who call themselves moderate or conservative. And how do Democrats shake out in this poll on those labels? Well, about a third call themselves moderate. About another third call themselves liberal. The bad news for Wiley is that only 19% of likely Democratic primary voters call themselves very liberal, even in blue New York. And of course, all of these numbers come with a disclaimer that they only mean anything if the Marist poll got it right, and we know pollsters don't always get it right. Also remember that a poll is just a snapshot, in this case, of the way things may have been on June 3rd through 9th. So the last of the poll is almost a week old already. And I would think, based on other developments, that Wiley's support in particular would probably be more today than it was then. This poll was taken partly before, but partly after AOC and Jumaane Williams endorsed Wiley. But Garcia and Adams also seem to be consolidating among certain groups. And again, this race is far from decided. The outcome, listeners, is very much up to you. But this is the most comprehensive poll so far, and one that is used to determine, in part, who gets to debate in the last debate on Channel 4 tomorrow night. And with me now, Juan Manuel Benitez, host of the show Puerta Politica on New York One, Spanish language channel, New York One Noticias. Hi, Juan. Thanks for some time, as I know you're covering so many races with early voting underway. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
And Latinx New Yorkers come from many different backgrounds, obviously, and the poll seems to reflect that, with the four leading candidates all within 8 points of each other in this poll. Does that seem consistent with your and your colleagues' reporting on New York One Noticias?
Yes, it does. There are two groups here when it comes to the Latino vote in the city for this election. I feel that you have the older generation of Hispanic voters, Latino voters in the city. They are, in this case, this time around, they might be more worried about public safety. So maybe someone like Eric Adams is appealing to them more than any other candidate. And then you have the young Latinx, young Latinos in the city who are more ideological, and they are gravitating towards candidacies like Diane Morales and Maya Wiley because they are more progressive than their elders. So that's what we are seeing on the street, on the ground, and I think that's what's going to happen on primary day.
Now, elected officials' endorsements are not necessarily representative of the public at large. There are all kinds of relationships there, and it would be stereotyping to expect Latino leaders or any ethnic groups' leaders to endorse as a bloc. But was the amount of diversity in the original endorsements for members of Congress from the city a surprise to you? Velasquez for Wiley, Torres for Yang, Espaillat for Stringer, Ocasio-Cortez remaining initially neutral?
I thought it was it goes with the times we're living in New York City politics right now. I think that ethnic politics, even though it's a really important factor in any election in the city, it's been for decades or centuries here in New York, is still alive, right? But the younger generations are more ideological. So they're not so much about electing someone from within their community. They're more about electing someone that is more aligned ideologically with their beliefs. So we see that also in the younger members of Congress, I feel. Endorsements, though, I do believe they're really important this year because many voters are trying to do the homework because of ranked choice voting, and they are really trying to learn more about the candidates. And they are confused. This is like preparing for the SATs before going to the poll site. So if you have a politician, an elected official, your city councilman, your congresswoman, who's represented you for many, many years, you might be following their lead if they tell you that this candidate is better than the other one. So just I'll give you an example. You know that community very well. Right now, Eric Adams has council member Idanis Rodriguez support and also Congressman Adriano Espaillat support. Those are the two main political families in the Dominican electorate uptown. Mm-hmm. And it's really significant that right now those two families are going with Eric Adams.
Listeners on the phones for this segment, if you identify as Latino and are likely Democratic primary voters for mayor, you'll get first priority. 646-435-7280. Who are you voting for mayor? Or who are you deciding between, if you're still undecided, voters who identify as Latino, Latina, Latinx, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. And what issues are driving your decision-making in this election, Latino voters? How much of your decision would you say has anything to do with what you would call identity issues? You just heard Juan Manuel describing how those may be more prevalent among older voters than among younger voters, no matter what age group you're in. Does that kind of hit home with you? Equal treatment and fair share of resources for Latinx people and communities, or other political needs that you would express in that way? 646-435-7280, or more moderate older, moderate quote unquote, more progressive, quote unquote, younger? Does it shake out that way for you, Latinx listeners, no matter what age you are? Tell me if your kids, your adult children, or your parents see things differently or anything you want to say or ask about the mayoral race with Juan Manuel Benitez, host of Puerto Politica on New York One Noticias, 646-435-7280, or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Juan Manuel, how do you see the importance of Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez's endorsement now for Wiley across all groups, including Latino voters?
I think it comes at the right moment for the Wiley campaign, just when we saw how this Kostringer campaign basically got into a real trouble with those two women accusing Stringer of sexual harassment 20 and 30 years ago, and also at a moment when Diane Morales' campaign was imploding with all those campaign workers trying to unionize and being fired. So that meant that progressives in this race had to make a decision. I think they picked Wiley, many of them picked Wiley as the most viable candidate. And then here he comes, the Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez endorsing Wiley at that really last minute. I think that's going to help her campaign tremendously. Is that going to be enough to win the race? That's up in the air.
Any other important endorsements? You know, big ones, as you well know, come not just from elected officials, but from unions, for example. Wiley has the big healthcare workers union, 1199. Stringer has the UFT. Andrew Yang got the police captains union endorsement just yesterday. Garcia got the sanitation workers who reported to her as commissioner. They could have come out resentful of their old boss. And there are many more.
Yeah, I think unions are powerful in New York City politics. They might not have as much sway as they used to when it comes to endorsements, but still, you have to give it to them. They have a lot of, they know how to organize. And when it comes to voting, that's really important. I will tell you also, because I wanna tell you about the Spanish language aspect of the race, Brian, because for Pura Política, we sent out a questionnaire with questions on how the candidates were going to solve Latino issues in the city. And we got responses from every single candidate, major candidate, except Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang's campaign, I don't know, they never sent us anything back. And the only people who spoke Spanish were obviously Diane Morales. She identifies as Afro-Latina, and she is fully bilingual in Spanish. And we were also surprised to hear Maya Wiley speaking really good Spanish, and also Sean Donovan speaking some Spanish. So those candidates are trying to reach the Spanish language community in New York City that way in many of their campaign stops. And I think that's important for some members of that electorate.
Let's take a phone call. Michelle in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. So I was just going to say that I think that, you know, when I first listened to what you guys were talking about, you're talking about Wiley getting Ocasio-Cortez's endorsement. And I think that will absolutely help her, but I just, you know, because Cortez is so popular, but I don't think that this woman is, I don't think that they're going to vote for a woman. I really don't still. I think we're in the dark ages there still. I don't know, is it just me, or is it, I just feel like none of the people that are running are like really inspiring me to, I'm having trouble coming up with five names.
Have you figured out for yourself in your uninspired position who you're probably going to list first?
I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe, oh God, no, I'm nervous. So I'm like,
that's right.
I can't think of his name. I can't even think of his name.
It's a guy. Is it Eric Adams?
No, it's not Eric Adams. the middle of the road one. He was running for president.
Oh, Andrew Yang.
Yes.
What do you like about Yang?
Well, he likes the strokes. No, I he's an educated guy, and I think he's sort of like got a level head, and you know, and yeah, my boyfriend said he wants to throw out money to us. Okay. Bye.
To some people. Anyway, Michelle, thank you very much. By the way, Juan Manuel, as a little fact check, wasn't it Maya Wiley who had the fundraiser with the Strokes?
She was on Saturday night. And let me tell you, Brian, because I wasn't there at the concert, but I saw the videos on social media the following morning. And it was really refreshing. Forget about the politics, but it was really refreshing. And it gave me like some sort of hope seeing so many people packing a concert venue like we hadn't seen since before the pandemic. So that's a good sign for all New Yorkers.
Listeners, 646-435-7280, first priority for Latinx listeners, but anyone may call, 646-435-7280. And Alex in Greenwich Village has a question in this regard. Alex, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I'm wondering if your guest can shed some light on why the largest Spanish-speaking paper would endorse Adams. I'm not voting for Adams because he is very pro-police. And my assumption would be that his pro-police stance might bleed into other policing aspects in the city, including ICE. So I definitely don't want that. And I would assume that most other people who read your paper might also not want that. So I'm wondering if you can shed some light on that issue. Thank you.
Alex, thank you very much. And just to be clear, our guest, Juan Manuel Benitez, is not with that newspaper. He's with the TV station New York One and their Spanish language channel, New York One Noticias. But I did mention in the intro that El Especialito, which I gather is the most widely read Spanish language newspaper nationally, did come out for Adams. So to Alex's curiosity about why, considering that Adams might be more ICE friendly and things like that, how do you read it?
Well, I'm not sure about the circulation numbers of El Especialito. I don't know how many people read El Especialito. I'm not saying that it's not widely read. It's just that I'm not sure. It's not like the influence that El Diario La Prensa used to have when they endorsed a candidate back in the day.
That was more of a local paper. I think El Especialito is more national, and maybe it doesn't have as much of a profile among New York Spanish speakers, but I don't know that.
Well, I don't think people read El Especialito for political news, but I'm not here to dismiss that endorsement. What I would say, though, is that Latinos are not that different from other communities in the city. They have the same concerns, right? When you talk to an average voter in a Latino community, that person is going to tell you that the things that they are concerned about are public safety, education, jobs, the economy, the recovery, right? So they share concerns with everybody else. So what we see now, if you go to communities in Washington Heights, if you go to some parts of the Bronx or Queens, a lot of older Latino New Yorkers, they would tell you that they are concerned about public safety. And when it comes to public safety, and the one that I feel, having covered all the different mayoral campaigns this year, I think that Eric Adams might have the most effective message when it comes to public safety. At least that's what the voters are telling me. So again, the connection with ICE, that's a little bit more complicated, a more nuanced. And sometimes when it comes to political campaigning, there's no room for nuance. It's just black or white.
There is only one Latinx candidate in the race, Diane Morales. Catherine Garcia is white. Many people may not know that. Garcia is the name of her ex-husband, and she kept it. And Morales only gets 3% Latinx support in this poll. I know her labor problems have hurt her recently, but I think her low standing mostly predates that. So why didn't Morales catch on among Latinx voters during this campaign?
I would say that Morales is going to get more than that come election day. Uh-huh. I think that Latinos traditionally, they tend to vote more for Spanish language last names. So I do feel that Morales and Garcia, even if Garcia is not Latina herself, are going to get some Latino votes in the primary just because their last names are Morales and Garcia. I even like followed Diane Morales campaigning around the Lower East Side, telling some voters, listen, I'm the only Latina in the race. You're going to see another Spanish last name on the ballot, Garcia, but she's not a real Latina. So just making sure that those voters knew that she was the only Latina running for mayor. And that's a reason also, I think, Brian, even though we're not talking about the comptroller's race right now, that's a reason why Michelle Caruso Cabrera, the financial journalist, I think she's going to do really well among Latinos because they're not going to know that much. Most voters don't know that much about what the comptroller does. But if they go to the polls and they see the ballot and they see a Spanish last name, Michelle Caruso Cabrera, they might be more inclined to vote for that person than for other candidates that they are not familiar with.
And in her case, not knowing that she's controversial for having been a Republican until 2015, for having been a conservative commentator on CNBC for a long time, having one of those archetypal financial conservative books out there called Less Government Equals More Prosperity, something like that. And she primaried AOC from the right last year. But a lot of people don't know that because that race is not getting a lot of coverage. It came out last week on the controller's debate that your organization, New York One, and my organization, WNYC, mm-hmm. hosted together. But that's not generally well known out there. And so she may look like the Latino identity candidate for people who haven't studied up.
That's right. And I would say, though, Brian, that sometimes we tend to align Latinos with the left or more progressive vote, and we have to recognize that the Latino vote is not monolithic, it's really complex, yes. And sometimes it's more center or to the right mm-hmm. than other communities. So just because we assume that Latinos are concerned with immigration a lot, we shouldn't assume that they share all kinds of progressive policies and that are that we tend to assign to Latinos when the reality is a little more complicated than that.
Absolutely. So would you say that there were any storylines that were included in stories that you've done in Spanish on New York One Noticias or that you've seen in other Spanish language media that the English-only community is missing?
I don't think so right now. I do believe that candidates for mayor should have had a stronger message for the Latino community just because it was a community hardest hit by the pandemic last year. And also because it's that community that is key for our public schools, a community that also is asking now for more public safety in their neighborhoods, at least a portion, a segment of that community. So I'm missing a little bit more of an outreach. However, you have to also acknowledge that some campaigns got really good surrogates that are doing that job for the candidates. And the one that we're talking the most during this segment is Eric Adams. It's not only Espaillat and Idanis Rodriguez. He also got the support from Freddy Ferrer, who was the first Latino nominee of the Democratic Party running for mayor back in 2005. And he's also influential, or the Bronx Borough President, Ruben Diaz Jr., who is also campaigning for Eric Adams.
Matt Inwood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Brian, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, great. Hey, sorry, just calling to say I'm a Latinx identifying person. I'm in my mid-30s. I'll be voting for Maya Wiley first, Diane Morales second. Sorry, I was riding my bike. And I'm specifically not ranking Andrew Yang, Catherine Garcia, or Eric Adams because of their positions on policing and education.
Thank you very much. Very clear. I think there's a no talking on a cell phone law with respect to cars. I'm not sure about bicycles, but it's not a good idea. But Matt, I think, had gotten down from his bike and he was just a little bit out of breath. Justin in Brownsville, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justin.
That's Brian. Good morning. I'm just surprised why more people are not voting for Andrea. And believe it or not, the reason why I love that guy is when he said he wants to deliver the vaccine in ice cream trucks. And I'm going to tell you a story. When I was in Jamaica in the 80s growing up, a guy come in a shop, what you call store here, and he said a sweet milk is going to sell for over $100 one day. That time, sweet milk was for 80 cents at the time. And the shopkeeper ran him out the shop and said, "You're stupid. That will never happen." Now sweet milk is for almost $200. The problem with us, we listen to the politicians who read the same script over and over, and we are not willing to try new things. And a lot of things Andrew Yang threw out there may sound abnormal, but the way it has been running over the years doesn't work for guys like me. So I'm going to vote for him first and Eric Adams second.
Justin, thank you so much. Juan Manuel, that's supposed to be Andrew Yang's appeal, right? Is that he's an innovative, think outside the box candidate. So even if he doesn't have the same kinds of experience that some of the other candidates have, especially in government, he's the guy who's going to come in with, the caller mentioned, offering vaccines at ice cream shops and other things like that.
Yes, and what is really surprising, and Brian, that we saw in that Marist College poll yesterday, is that the last two listeners, they really go according to the results of that poll, right? You have the last listener saying that he's going to vote for Andrew Yang one and Eric Adams second, which is really surprising because those two campaigns have been fighting with each other. And they are trying to be really different from each other. And then the previous one, the previous caller said that he's voting for Maya Wiley, or Diane Morales first and then Maya Wiley. So he's picking two women, number one and number two. And that was really interesting for that from that poll, too, because the most common second choice for people who ranked Catherine Garcia first was Maya Wiley. For people who ranked Maya Wiley first was Catherine Garcia, and for people who ranked Diane Morales first was Maya Wiley. So there are a lot of New Yorkers, New York voters, who are just picking women one and two because I'm sure many of them want to see, for the first time in history, have a female mayor of the city of New York.
And tomorrow we're going to talk about black voters in New York City with Christina Greer and many calls. Again, along the lines of some of those interesting findings that broke down, maybe surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly, but differently in the three main racial categories, and I realize they're very broad categories, but of black, Latino, and white, and really pretty different from each other. But do you think, based on what you just said, that the sort of traditional notion of lanes to the left and to the right, the more progressive lane where people say Wiley and Morales and Stringer, and the more moderate lane where people say Garcia and Adams and Yang, that when you look at those first and second and third choices, people aren't necessarily voting along those particular lines. And we've got about 30 seconds left.
I'm really surprised that that's going to be true, what you just said. And there are two variables here this year, Brian, for the first time, is ranked choice voting. And people are voting differently, and also early voting. Those two combined are going to give us a totally different result from previous elections this year.
Juan Manuel Benitez hosts the politics program Puerta Politica on New York One Noticias. And you can also see him in English on New York One. Juan Manuel, thanks a lot so much for the insights.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.